Well, tonight as we prepare to meet with the Lord, I want to share just a few thoughts with you, talking about things that hinder our prayer life, things that hinder our communication. If you remember last week, we spent a great deal of time of having some time with the Lord, and I want to do that again tonight. But before we do, I do want to share a few things with you to get your mind thinking about those things that hinder your prayer life. One person gives advice on prayer by telling us this: tell God all that is in your heart, as one unloads one's heart, its pleasures and its pains, to a dear friend. Tell Him your troubles, that He may comfort you. Tell Him your joys, that He may sober them. Tell Him your longings, that He may purify them. Tell Him your dislikes, that He may help you to conquer them. Talk to Him of your temptations, that He may shield you from them. Show Him the wounds of your heart, that He may heal them. Lay bare your indifference to good, your depraved taste for evil, your instability. Tell Him how self-love makes you unjust to others, how vanity tempts you to be insincere, how pride disguises you to yourself and to others. And if you thus pour out all your weaknesses, needs, troubles, there will be no lack of what to say. You'll never exhaust the subject. It is continually being renewed. And that's just simply put, that if you tell Him everything, you'll never run out of things to say. When we pray, of course, the Lord is not looking for long-winded prayers. He's looking for a sincere, humble heart. And I want to just share with you a few hindrances. There are six of them that I want to mention to you, just real briefly. And I want to ask you to include them tonight in your prayer time, as you seek to have a heart open before the Lord. The first one is this: unconfessed sin. Unconfessed sin certainly is a hindrance in our prayer life, that when we harbor sin in our heart, of course, that hinders on whether the Lord's going to hear you or not. In fact, unconfessed sin forces God not to hear when we pray. You remember what David said in Psalm 66:18? If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear. So we certainly don't want to regard iniquity in our heart. We don't want to have unconfessed sin. So the very moment that the Holy Spirit speaks to your heart, He prompts you about sin that you haven't confessed, then certainly you want to give that to Him. You want to confess that. You want to repent of that. Even over in Isaiah chapter 1 and verses 15 and 16, the people of Israel had stopped confessing their sin, and they were abhorring sin in their heart, or hiding it rather. And He says, "When you spread out your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. Even though you make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. Wash yourselves, make yourselves clean. Put away the evil of your doings from before my eyes. Cease to do evil." Again, just saying that when we give ourselves over to sin, when we give ourselves over to evil, and we're not willing to confess it, then that forces God not to respond. That is, not to hear. Now, we do welcome His chastening when we do that. We do welcome His divine spanking, as I like to call them. D.L. Moody said, "God has nothing to say to the self-righteous." Isn't that true? He wants us to be of a humble heart. And unconfessed sin is simply hypocrisy. When you really think about it, that's what it is. And it says in Romans 12:9, "Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil, cling to what is good." So when we're not willing to confess, then that really is showing hypocrisy. Billy Sunday said, "One reason sin flourishes is that it is treated like a cream puff instead of a rattlesnake." You know, we play around with it. We don't see how deadly sin is. We think that we can handle it. A second hindrance to prayer is not only unconfessed sin, but insincerity. Insincerity. This is basically praying for show, praying for the display of others, praying that other people might see you, might hear you. When you pray to God, don't do it to be seen by men. Look there in Matthew chapter 6, what Jesus tells us about that. Matthew 6, verse 5, He says, "And when you pray, you should not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogues, on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men." He says, "Assuredly, I say to you that they have their reward." What's the reward? It's the reward of men. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly." So he says, when you pray, don't do it like the hypocrites do. They want to be seen by men. Don't pray to be seen by anyone but God. And when you pray to God, don't seek to impress Him with your many words. God is not interested in a lot of words. Look there at verse 7. He tells us, he says, "And when you pray, do not use vain repetition as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things that you have need of before you ask Him." And the idea of vain repetition here is the word bata, bata, bata. That's what it sounded like. It's the word bata. It just, bata lageo, and it went bata, bata, bata. It was just a bunch of gibberish back and forth. God wants you to communicate to Him in intelligible language, right? In language that can be heard. In language that is clear. And then when you communicate to Him, He wants you to communicate not with a bunch of words, not with long-winded prayers necessarily. So you don't need to seek to impress Him. This kind of praying is basically to impress others. And God is not impressed with this kind of praying. He tells us there in verse 6 that He wants you to go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place. That's how He wants us to pray. He wants us to come at it by those means. So what are the hindrances? We have unconfessed sin, insincerity. A third hindrance to prayer is carnal motives. Carnal motives. James chapter 4 and verse 3 says, "You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures." This is basically praying with impure motives. And James says in the first two verses that quarrels and strifes, lust, hatred, and covetousness, it dominates the life of a person who comes to him with these types of motives. They're asking and they're not receiving, according to verse 3, was because they ask amiss. In other words, they're asking in an evil manner. And what is that evil manner? That they might spend freely what they're asking for on their own pleasures, their own lusts. So they're coming at Him with fleshly motives. They're not coming with spiritually minded motives. See, humility is to dominate our attitude when we pray. And our prayers are to have that type of motive when we come to Him. So carnal motive certainly is a hindrance. A fourth hindrance is domestic problems. Problems in the home. Problems with the family. Listen to what 1 Peter 3:7 says. I'm going to pick on husbands tonight, okay? "Husbands, likewise, dwell with them with understanding." Dwell with who? That is your wives. "Giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered." He's telling us several things here. When husbands fail to live with their wives with understanding, their prayers are hindered. Second thing he's telling us, when husbands fail to honor their wives, their prayers are hindered. A third thing, and this is a response to that, is that we need to love our wives. Now, Ephesians 5:25 says, "Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for her." And let me focus back here on 1 Peter. You love her by being understanding. You love her by giving her honor. You see, it's real easy to say, "Husbands, love your wives." But let's talk about what that love is. Let's talk about what that sacrifice is. The sacrifice is living with your wife in an understanding way. Understanding where she's at. Understanding that, as Peter puts it, that she is the weaker vessel. There are some vast differences between the husband and the wife. Not just physically, but there are some differences that are there. And you're to live with her with understanding. Be understanding. That doesn't always necessarily mean you understand everything that's going on, but at least seek to be understanding, right? Seek to be understanding. Sometimes you got to pray together. "Lord, I'm praying that You'll give me the understanding tonight." But the other thing is giving her honor, honoring her. I've told you at times, men, if you want to be treated like a king, then treat your wife like a queen. And that will happen. So when we fail to do that, he says your prayers are hindered. A fifth hindrance is pride. It's pride. And this really falls out of the last one, because when we don't want to live with understanding and we don't want to seek to honor, and it could be for reasons of pride. God cannot bless anyone who is filled with pride. Do you believe that? He can't bless anyone that is filled with pride. You know why? Because He hates it. He hates pride. Why do you think He kicked Lucifer out of heaven? Why do you think that there are many new pastors coming into ministry and they're filled with pride and they go out as quick as they come in? It's pride. It says in Proverbs 8:13 that the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogance and the evil way and the perverse mouth I hate, the Lord tells us. Pride is an abomination to Him. It says in Proverbs 6:16, these six things the Lord hates. Yes, seven are an abomination to Him. You know what the first one is? A proud look. God hates pride. No one can come to Christ filled with pride. Now, you can come to Christ and drop your pride, but it's always through brokenness. It's always through a broken and contrite heart that you're to address God, that you're to come to Him. Because He can't bless you when you're filled with pride. He wants you to approach Him, and as I just mentioned, in humility. Listen to this story. It says, two men went up to the temple to pray. One was a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank You that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. What does that sound like? He's comparing himself to another person. He's being prideful about the things that he is doing. And it says, and the tax collector, standing afar off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And Jesus says in verse 14, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. God wants us to have a humble heart. And every time we come to Him, we need to humble ourselves. And we need to deal with unconfessed sin, right? We need to deal with those things that are hindrances. And of course, domestic problems can be widened to all the relationships that occur in the family. But let me give you a last one. Refusing to submit to biblical teaching. When we refuse to submit to God's Word, that hinders our prayer life. And it's also a form of pride, because it's basically saying, I know what it says and I don't need to hear anymore. I've heard that before. How could I hear something new about that subject or about that verse? I know what it says. Or how about indifference? I just really don't care what it says. Maybe we don't use the words, but we demonstrate it in our attitudes. You know, if God is telling us to do certain things and we don't do it, and we just shrug it off as being unimportant, that's indifference. That's a form of pride. That's a refusal to submit to biblical teaching. And you know, in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 2, it says that a pastor elder is to be one who is able to teach. That's apt to teach. That's two sides of the same coin. He is able to teach and he is teachable. And if this is true of the pastor elder, it's also true of everyone. Not necessarily that we're all to be able to teach, but we all need to be teachable, right? I mean, I'm in trouble if I can't be teachable. I mean, how can I learn? You've got to be teachable. And so when you refuse to submit to biblical teaching, your prayers are considered this, an abomination. Listen to what Proverbs 28:9 says. One who turns away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer is an abomination. God doesn't want to hear it. It's just like He said to Israel there in Isaiah, when you offer your prayers, when you fold out your arms, I'm not going to hear you. I don't want to hear it. Because you have sin. And you're not willing to forsake your sin. We need to see how important these things are. We talk about a lot of things week after week. And the question is, are we yielded to it? Are we yielded to what God's Word says? Let me leave you with this verse as we move into our prayer time. It's over in James chapter 1. James tells us in our reception of the Word, first of all, he says in verse 21, therefore lay aside all filthiness. In order to receive, you've got to lay aside some things, right? He says, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted Word which is able to save your souls. So in order to receive with meekness the implanted Word, that you have to lay aside wickedness. And then he says, but be doers of the Word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. A lot of that sounds almost like 1 Peter, where he says in verse 1, therefore laying aside all malice, all guile, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes desire the pure milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby. If indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. In order to desire God's Word, in order to receive it, we have to humble ourselves, we have to lay aside sin. So if I can encourage you tonight, think about these things that hinder your prayer. Don't hide your sin, confess it. Don't be insincere when you pray. Don't approach God with sinful motives. Be understanding and honorable to others. And submit to what God says in His Word. I think we could learn from these things from God's Word tonight as we go into our time of prayer. I really want to encourage you to humble yourself tonight. Humble yourself before God.